5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars of this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Star Wars! Nothing but Star Wars! Give me no Star Wars! Don't let them end! Star Wars! If they should buy.
Hello!
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Been a bit. Any good movies come out while we were away?
Did any good movies come out while we were away? I don't know. Kev, did anything? I think he was offed by his slightly obsessed grandson. as is the case with the state of New Jersey, you never know when the roads are going to completely shit the bed. Mm. My drive home tonight, there was a massive accident on 78. There was a massive accident on 22. There was a massive accident on the parkway. And the turnpike was not so great, and neither was 280. So Kev is stuck in one of those three, although he has confirmed that he's a mere minutes away.
Minutes away. We'll have him upon us.
So he will be here shortly. But we are here. This is episode 397.
Wow.
Of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Getting closer. By the month to episode 400.
Yep.
The way we do things. But we are going to call. We're going to call. Wow. Apparently, I got a new tongue over the holiday break.
I
don't know how to use it.
Mm,
go ahead.
I've got nothing. I'm just going to let that float on out there.
That's what she said. I don't know. What are we going to call this one?
I'm not creative.
A new year. We'll just call it a new year. It's simple. I'm lazy. Let's do it.
A new year full of new hope.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. So, in theory, we're going to talk about episode 7.
In theory.
But we have to wait for Kevin to get here.
We can't
talk about it. But we can talk about a little bit we can talk a little personal stuff, holidays and whatnot. Did you have a good holiday season?
I had a wonderful holiday. Quiet, simple, straightforward, and lots of fun goodies from St. Nick.
Nice.
Good times. I mean, I wasn't in, fucking Disney World or nothing.
Yeah, like me. Yeah. I spent most of my holiday in the House of Mouse, the one in Florida,
mm-hmm.
not the one on the other coast. It is disgustingly apparent in the most awesome way possible that Star Wars is strong.
Oh yeah.
In Disney World. I mean everywhere. Like you can't walk more than 10 feet in any of the parks without seeing some sort of merch.
I believe it. I believe it.
And Hollywood Studios in particular, you could feel it strong.
Are pins still a thing down there, or have they just kind of given up on those for the most part? I never see anybody talking about them anymore.
They are still a thing, but they are not nearly what they used to be.
So no pin hunting for opening day Star Wars pins, across every park and so on and so forth.
Honestly, I didn't even think to look.
Right.
I should have, because I was there pretty much opening day.
Right.
I didn't even think to look. It didn't even cross my mind. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, it's not. I think they're Dunsky. I think I missed my window to sell them at a good price too, because I don't think people are as maniacally crazed.
I think maniacally, that's
the word I'm looking for. Holy shit! I need some sleep.
I think some of the rare ones probably still have some value.
Yeah, but the piece of history ones I keep teetering and tottering on. I have the very first run of those things, and I may give those up at some point, and those I may still get a pretty penny for. But
I mean, I did still see cast members walking around with lanyards.
Oh,
so it's still a thing, but it's not like. The last time that we were there together, me and you, it was the thing.
Nobody went on rides. They just
give me your pins. Yeah, that was it. A line of guest services to see the dumb book at the beginning of the park. You remember? I mean, it was like stupid. Yeah.
I have very fond memories of that, though. I mean, I had a great time Midnight Madness, crazy running around as it was to hunt down the Incredibles opening day pins.
Oh, that was epic.
That was a fun. Interesting day.
It was.
Especially when we ran into the our counterparts later, who were hammered.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they were like, these idiots are running around looking for pins. There are margaritas in Mexico.
Oh, it's convenient. We're in the World Showcase, and they're off to go, we're going to shop. We're going to go shopping around the World Showcase a little bit. And, you know, that shopping entailed shopping for margaritas, but, you know.
I'm going to make it worse for you now. In that same country in the World Showcase, Mexico,
yep.
They now have a tequila bar downstairs by Mexican Small World.
Wow.
With something like 100 different tequilas that you can try.
That's kind of ridiculous.
It's dangerous is what it is. a good friend of ours who happens to still be a cast member down there, we saw her one day. Hello, Devin, if you're listening. She took us over there just to show us the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I got drunk just looking at it. I got a buzz just, but, yeah. So Star Wars is disgustingly, apparent in a good way throughout the parks. You could see the footprint of where, the expansion is going to be in Hollywood Studios. There's a whole area in the back of Hollywood Studios that's called Watto's Grotto now.
Okay.
If you remember the backstage tour, the one where you took like a little trolley car and they showed you stuff like, this is the Golden Girls house. And
oh,
this
yeah.
is the ship from the last.
The big highlight of that was the earthquake flood thing.
Yes, that was part of that. Yes.
What's up, sir?
So, Big Kev joining us. So in that area, if you remember where you got off that ride, it dumped you off in a gift shop that kind of looked like backstage at Roger Rabbit.
Yes. I do remember that.
Okay.
Yes.
So that whole gift shop and then some is now called Watto's Grotto, and it's just all Star Wars merchandise.
So the backlot tour is dead?
Oh, that's gone. That's been gone for a while.
Is that all going to be a Star Wars world? Is
the backlot tour, the stunt spectacular, that whole New York City walkway where the Osborne lights are, all of that is going away to make way for Star Wars World.
Holy fuck.
14 acres is what that expansion is.
I had no idea it was that expansive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Which stunt show? Not the Indy Jones one, right?
No. The car one. The racing one. Lights, camera,
yes.
Action or whatever it was called. That whole area, part of that whole area is now just Star Wars merch. And then they have another area where I think it used to be the animation tour about the life of Walt.
Right.
You kind of remember that thing? That is now the Star Wars launch bay, which is just like props and art and all sorts of stuff from all of the movies, all sorts of replicas and stuff. You just walk through. It's gorgeous. I posted a ton of pictures to Instagram. You can check those out.
So Hollywood Studios is
– it's going to be Star Wars Land more or less.
I'm coming there. Yeah. Now, here's my question. If and when – I'm sure at some point Disney is looking to ape that license off of just yank the rug out from under Universal. I have no idea the terms of that. But
Universal
from Universal Studios, they had the whole Marvel with the Hulk ride, the Spider-Man ride, and all that.
Those rides
and
expire.
Marvel World
next year, I think.
Is it that soon?
Yeah. The rights to those rides, it was a finite amount of time, and I heard they're already converting
one of them.
The
two
Hulk,
of them.
The Hulk they're keeping, but it's not going to be called the Hulk. They're rebranding it.
Yeah, they just got to paint that thing.
Doom is going away. Spider-Man is being rebranded as well as something else.
Okay.
Yeah, that license expires. So I don't There's no plans for a Marvel world yet, but I'm sure at some point in time it'll come.
So between that and the Avatar world, you know, they're really getting into the cinematic genre shit over there. I'm actually I
gotta tell you,
I'm kind of psyched about the Avatar
world. I gotta tell
you,
the Avatar world. If you go to YouTube and look it up on some of the information that people have put out there, it looks really fucking cool.
Yeah,
I mean it's Avatar, so you gotta but even if the property of Avatar sucks, the attractions look really cool.
I mean,
the world is rich.
Boil it down. Avatar is rich, amazing spectacle. Put all the complaints about story, whatever gripes you have about Avatar.
I mean, I liked Avatar, so.
It is a spectacular film. So, of course, it's going to translate to a theme park. I mean, they're gonna sally on top of one of them flying banshee things, for Christ's sake. That's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, and there's some sort of whole, light show that they're building back there, too. Yeah. Like, kind of like Fantasmic, but Avatar themed, I think. So what else? Star Wars stuff. I think that's the most. It's everywhere. It's just you can't avoid it.
We need to get down there.
There's a Star Wars store now in downtown Disney, which is now called Disney Springs. There's also a Marvel store in downtown Disney now.
Of course.
Also in downtown Disney is a great little gallery. I think that it's been there for years, but it's getting more and more traction. The Wonderground Gallery. I forget what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked up some prints. It's called Wonderground Gallery. I picked up some prints while I was there. Jeremiah Kettner is a guy who we've talked about on the show before. We've actually been to one of his solo shows. He has some awesome Disney themed stuff that was there. Another guy whose print I picked up, Gerard Maruyama. It's Hipster Mickey. I kind of dug that.
Yeah. And the one I'm holding now, I think is my favorite bunch. This is Jeff Granito.
That's Hatbox Ghost.
Hatbox Ghost, yeah. Ghostly Presents, however you want to say that.
And then the other one I picked up was Joey Chow. It's a huggable friend. It's a Baymax Big Hero 6. Oh, and Star Tours. I didn't mention Star Tours.
Oh, my God, yes.
So
now 3D, right? You put on glasses to go on that sucker?
It is 3D.
Okay.
And almost the entirety of the ride is Episode 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's but that's temporary.
Oh.
That's temporary. It was a big push for the opening in the movie.
Sure.
But it's...
Missing the pod race part, are you?
Yeah, no, but
the Hoth part, actually, I thought was amazing.
But instead you're getting the run through the crashed Star Destroyer on Jakku.
Oh, wow.
So it's not bad.
That might be good.
It's pretty good.
Are there different paths? Because I know there's like a million different routes you can go in Star Tours,
right?
I rode
it 4 times. During my time down there, and I got the same exact one each time.
Okay.
But I think that's intentional. I think that's because
they're just pushing Episode 7.
Yeah, so pretty much you leave Jakku, you end up in Coruscant, and it kind of ends. It's weird because it starts with Vader, and then you're on Jakku, and then you're on Coruscant. So it's kind of a mix of stuff. And also, there was a fireworks show in Hollywood Studios that was there temporarily, but it's coming back in January or February that is all done to John Williams.
Star Wars score.
That was really nice. At first, I was like, how good can this be? And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it's really good.
Of course.
It's really
good. Of course.
So that was really cool. So that was Disney in a nutshell, I think, for me. How about you? How was your holidays, Big Kev?
Good.
Did you do anything exciting?
No.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Well, now that you're here, I think we could... I think we can move.
Can we start the show? Can we press record and just get going?
I think we could actually move into some Star Wars talk. Is that safe? I think it's going to take over
most
of the show.
Oh, we're already going.
I kind of feel like we should. We should give it as much time as we need. And if we feel like we need something
started
at
with
the
it,
end.
We had the opening music giving a little nod to it. I'm all for it.
We do have a voicemail, though, that I want to play that'll lead us kind of into this. So let's go to that real quick.
All righty.
Hey, guys. It's at anthony.helmer. on Instagram and Twitter for initial impressions. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Overall, it's a great movie. It's an excellent chapter in the saga. I love all the new characters. Kylo Ren is a psycho. Enjoyed seeing Finn and his characterization. Rey is amazing. And a couple quibbles were just the pacing of the story. Everything moves so frenetically and fast. I would have liked JJ to kind of slow things down and enjoy some of the new worlds and planets that we're introduced to. And a couple standouts were the score, John Williams' score, Ray's theme. And hope you guys enjoyed it. Wishing you all a happy holiday, and talk to you guys soon, okay? Bye.
We should be safe at this point, and thankfully his review was blissfully spoiler-free.
Yes.
But we should say from this point on, spoiler city,
No, sir, I'm going to supersede that. The embargo is over, sir.
Okay.
That movie opened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but you
ain't seen it by now, and there's a holiday, all holiday break in there and everything else. Come on.
No, but
Life happens, so we still want to put the warning up. You know?
I get you.
If I know someone has not seen it yet, I have not gone out. I'm not going out of my way.
Yeah. I'm just still minding the conversation.
My wife hasn't seen it yet and really, really wants to, and she just – we haven't been able to get a sitter to square it away. So I – every time it comes up, I'm like, we can't talk about it until Kate leaves the room.
Yep.
Like, and I've
– and that's fair.
Right.
And if you have somebody that you work with or you know and that you respect and you're like – and they're like, please, I'm going to go see it. Just give me a little – that's one thing.
Right.
But at this point, if you're listening to this program –
yes, you've heard.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
We do not need to put up a spoiler alert this week at this time.
I'm going
to
say this. Someone who I was pretty friendly with – online, who I know personally and I know through social media and other things almost sort of associated with this show, immediately posted a spoiler the next day. Now, it didn't spoil it for me because I saw it opening night.
Right.
But literally posted it that night or the next morning.
Just to Twitter or Facebook?
To everything. Ugh. And it was a screenshot, and it was the screenshot. It was just the saber through...
somebody.
Solo. Fuck somebody. Through Han Solo. It was the kill shot.
Hashtag Ren stabbed first.
Yeah, exactly. And
wow.
I was just like, you know what? That person is just being a dick to be a dick.
Who was this person?
I'm not going to blow up a spot, but I'm no longer associating myself with that person.
Wow.
When the mics are off, maybe clue us into
that.
Because
when the mics are off, I'm not going to blow up the person's spot online. That's not my...
No, I'm going to blow up their house.
Yes, yes. That's not my bag. I'm not going to do that. So,
Kidding. Kidding.
Wow. I just...
Very quickly.
Do we have a show
you,
on hold?
You don't know this person, I don't think.
Oh, I don't?
No, I don't think so.
Do I?
Oh.
You might.
Uh-huh.
You might.
You only might, but I... He...
Only be... Yes,
PK
because,
might, but I don't.
Yeah, because he's more active.
Mayor Kev?
Because he's more active on social media.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because he's more active on social media than you are.
Social media is
somewhat associated with this program.
Yes, but I'm not going to blow up anybody's spot. Wait for it. It's no one you know personally. I assure you that.
Right, okay.
It's no one you've ever met in person.
It's not the mayor.
I assure that. It is not the mayor.
Okay. It's not Smack.
It is not Smack, the same person.
I did such a jokingly aggressive knuckle crack. I think I actually sprained
one
of my fingers.
All right.
So Han Solo is dead.
Well, no, hold on. I want to do this in some sort of linear fashion. I want to talk about the overall experience and then get into the movie, and we could talk about specific points and nitpick and talk about rumors and blah, blah, blah. But very, very quickly going around the room, I just want to know, I don't know whether you liked it or not. I realized like a week ago, I was like, oh shit, I've been talking to Kev, but I don't know if he actually liked it. I assume he liked it because I don't imagine you wouldn't have liked it, but we didn't see it together. And then I was away on vacation. So did you like it?
I hear a dog barking.
Yeah, outside.
Wow, is that picking up from outside?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
probably a little bit.
Crazy. Yeah.
Very much on the surface. Yes, you liked it or you hated it.
Yes, I liked it. Okay. How many times have you seen it now?
I've only seen it. Oh, well, I've seen it once in the theater.
I see.
But technically, I've seen it twice.
Okay. I have seen it twice. Okay. We just managed the second viewing with the missus the other day.
But yes, I'm going to be going with my wife, hopefully. Hopefully soon. I really want to take her to see it. She really wants to see it. So
word.
And also, by the by, one thing that Disney definitely did for my family, my son is now obsessed with BB-8 and Kylo Ren.
Oh, really?
And nice.
We watched New Hope the other day.
Oh, thank God. Can we get him away from the damn Hulk?
We watched it. No, Hulk is still strong. But we did watch New Hope the other day. So
love.
We're getting there.
It has begun.
But all right. So overall movie going experience. When did you see it, Big Kev? You didn't see it that Thursday night, correct? Or you did?
I did.
Okay.
And I also saw it the following Friday morning.
Right. Okay. So you went to a midnight show?
Yeah.
Okay. So me and PK got kind of lucky. We went to...
we did the dine-in experience, which was...
And it was a 10 o'clock show,
10:15.
Right?
10:15.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if for an opening of a film, that's the route I think I want to go all the time. Especially for a Star Wars film with the assigned seat dine-in thing. Holy shit, was that bliss.
all of the benefits of that were amazing.
Oh.
I like the assigned seats portion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can live without the entirety of the rest of it.
I mean, we rolled up probably about a half an hour before.
Yeah.
I don't think they even seated us until maybe 20 minutes before. Mm-hmm. So the only real concern I had was that 10 minutes when we were waiting in the lobby and the 8 o'clock show was getting out. And me and PK just walked to the other side of the lobby just in case. I was like, either someone's going to be a dick, but I'm hoping everybody's respectful, or someone is just going to come out so excited about something and say, and I'm going to
inadvertently doing the Homer thing from Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
And our conversation, I'll reenact how our conversation kind of went as we were discussing things, because as people came near us and had that excited vibe, you know, I'm talking to Matt, and all of a sudden, I just be kind of like, so anyway, the steak I had the other night was spectacular. Right. It was cooked just right, nice and medium. And I hope you know how to cook a steak. No words, but just drowning out the potential.
I think that's – you got to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. We got lucky, too. Everybody in the audience was very well behaved. The wait staff was – well behaved. I don't think we had any issues at all, did we?
Not a one.
So from that point of view, the experience was good, at least for that showing.
Yep.
And you went to a midnight. So how was the midnight show?
Kind of nuts, like you expect.
Yeah. Were you online long? Did you have to wait long to find that comfort zone?
No, you know.
You know people.
I have some ways.
Right. You're not the average Joe. I forget.
I have some ways. Sometimes I have people. This was a ways, not a people thing.
Okay. But I mean, for longtime listeners of this show, they'll know that for years, and actually, PK, you were involved in this number of occasions. We used to host midnight shows at a couple of different theaters.
At least three different theaters that I can remember.
You guys doing your thing for, I think, a Harry Potter release.
Yeah, so.
We did a bunch of them, yeah.
Yeah, so.
For like a long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think – so the experiences were good, at least for the first showing.
Yeah, but I'll be honest. I did not enjoy the midnight as much as I enjoyed the 9 a.m.
Because of the crowd?
Because of the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You're not a fan of the cheering aspect of the midnight crowd.
I don't care about that. I'm fine with that. I'm just – it's just kind of – you know, it's a Friday morning at 9 a.m.
Right.
You know, everybody's kind of still a little
tired from the midnight
show. Yeah, and so nobody's like really like, there's no rowdiness. There's no, I mean, people are excited, but it's kind of tampered by the fact that they've just woken up.
That's a very dedicated group, I think. So
I'll be honest with you. 9 o'clock show, I'm thinking, I want to get there like 8 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, because you know I got to have the best seat.
Sure.
So I'm getting there like 8 o'clock. No people, no ways in this case. I'm just thinking, I'm just going to go like a regular person. Just go in. Well, I got there at 8 o'clock, and there was already 120 people in the line.
Ooh, wow.
So I was flabbergasted. I haven't seen a line like that, in all honesty. Have not seen a line like that probably since 90 Batman.
Wow, okay.
I mean, that kind of line. Yeah, that kind of line.
No, episode one. I remember the episode one line at Clifton was wrapped around the building.
Look, I know that the line – I'm just telling – the way it struck me.
Okay.
Because and with all due respect to the episode one line, like, we're in the front of it. So, like
– we were, but I remember we also left the line to, like, talk to people and do stuff. And that line was, like, down the side and wrapped around.
I got it. But it didn't strike me as – it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
I hear
you. I'm pulling up over the hill, and all of a sudden, there's a mass of humanity on a Friday morning.
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
people, you know, if it was a Friday night, that would be one thing. It's a Friday morning. So it was – I enjoyed that experience much better than I did the previous
time. So I'm assuming no rambunctious children then for that screening. Yes? No?
No, there were none. And then the third time I saw it,
problems started to arise.
No. Third time was assigned seating.
Okay.
Seating in the back. I saw it in Union on 22.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, then the fourth time I saw it was also a pleasant experience, but also back in a different place. And then the fifth time I've seen it.
Holy shit.
Was also in that same place where I went from one theater to another.
Have you seen it more than five times? Just get it out there now. I don't want to be interrupted again.
I'm up to eight.
Okay. So
I'm impressed.
The one positive thing I'm going to take from the general consensus of people that I've spoken to online and in person is that nobody I know has had a bad movie going experience, at least as far as within a reason, you know, a reasonable amount of, you know, excitement. But no one's had like any disrespectful people.
No.
Or it seems like the people that are seeing it, even the second, third, fourth, fifth time, sixth, seventh time, eighth time, are still pretty excited and respecting the crowds that are there with them. And that's nice to hear. That I think that speaks to the movie and what it means to people in general.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the movie itself.
I figured, just to put a you know, sort of an end note on there, yeah. I figured if I go and see something I didn't see the last time I saw it, yeah. then I need to go again.
Okay.
And that's what's been happening. So yeah. I do need to see it again because Fair I enough. Did see something. In
yeah.
The,
in I'm definitely gunning for a third one. I want to do the big giant IMAX.
Yeah.
We did for the second go with my wife, we did the LIMAX screen over in Clifton.
Right, right.
Which is now, and IMAX for me is about the sound, and they have legit IMAX sound over there, but it's not the monster, not the screen, monster yeah. screen. And that's the experience I want next.
I know someone who saw it on the ginormo IMAX screen, and they said that they enjoyed it, but they did not enjoy it as much.
Yeah, that plays in the middle.
And they felt like it was really hard to follow certain things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And they weren't kissing the screen.
Right.
I mean, they weren't all the way in the back, but they weren't kissing the screen either. They were somewhere around the midpoint. And they said for whatever reason, they had a hard time just kind of taking it all in.
Does it do like Nolan does for Dark Knight and such, where he shoots specific scenes for IMAX?
So when the
IMAX scenes, the aspect ratio expands to that like, you know, during the
but
Falcon
none of,
chase.
But none
that.
Of this was shot for that. So you're really getting sort of the...
Oh, that's what I'm asking. When you go to those epic big scenes, do they switch to the full aspect ratio that takes up the whole IMAX screen?
In
Star Wars,
None of it was shot for IMAX.
Really?
No. None of it was shot for IMAX.
No, that's okay. And that's not to surprise me either, because that's not J.J. Abrams' style.
It's not even that. It's that it's that IMAX ratio, I think, is becoming a little...
Now it makes me curious, though, because the LIMAX screen was full top to bottom.
That's still the correct ratio because it's a regular theater.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Don't forget, it's more vertical, the regular IMAX.
Well, now I have to go see it to figure that out.
So
see what that looks like.
We're at about 27 or 28 minutes, so we could do one of two things. We could take a quick break now and then come back and just power through. Or
we can club Baby Seals.
We can go for a couple more minutes. And then take our first break. What do you guys think? You want to take a break?
I dig the break thing, but before we do that, we didn't thank Anthony and give him the number out?
Oh, we didn't. Thank you.
Let's do that.
Thank you, Anthony. A loyal listener to the show now and one of my favorite artists online. Check him out at Anthony Helmer on Instagram. And we've talked about him numerous times on the show because I keep on buying his artwork.
Yeah.
And let's give out that GVM line.
That's going to be 425-920-6050.
And with that, let us take our first break.
Yes, OG, and we will take that first break. And we'll be right back on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode
2397.
And we're calling it...
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
Well, that's perfect for this episode.
It is.
I mean, it's perfect for every episode because it's an amazing product.
It is absolutely one of the finest Star Wars collectibles that I have ever come across. And I have a fair amount of Star Wars. Oh, wait.
You used to.
I had a fair amount of Star Wars collectibles. Anyway, I can tell you this. That's one I'm keeping.
Sure.
Because it's awesome. And I built it.
There you go.
And that is part of the fun of Build Millennium Falcon. PK, do you have that number they can call up?
Yeah, if you don't if you don't want to hit the website, which is what, buildmillenniumfalcon.com?
Yes. Uh-huh.
If you don't have access to the internet.
Send them a fax.
How are you?
Over at...
send them a fax at... or a carrier pigeon. Or just call them at 877-544-6779.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. So Star Wars.
Yeah, so Han Solo's dead.
So I gotta tell you,
No one saw his body.
Shut up.
No, he's dead. Now, fuck that.
Oh, yeah. That's,
No, what I was going to say is...
Not even a force ghost coming out of that. That's kind of sad.
But he is in episode 8.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's...
Flashback.
I bet it's
all flashbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, I didn't see it coming. I really thought it was going to be Chewie.
I really thought it was going to be Chewie.
The whole movie, yeah. I'm waiting. Like, every time Chewie's in the middle of a firefight, I'm like, oh, it's coming.
Oh, when he gets nicked.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, no. It's not a flesh wound.
I didn't see it coming until he took that first step on the catwalk, and I said, oh boy.
This is so dramatic. There's no way one of them is walking away dead.
At that point, I saw. I didn't realize it as the saber was piercing his chest. But what I mean is, up till that point, I didn't see it coming.
Here's something I really like about that scene, by the way. And here's what I think J.J. Abrams did. I think he did with that scene... basically gave the finger to George Lucas and said, here is how you show a young man turning to the fucking dark side. This is how it happens.
Okay.
Dramatically.
I agree with you in a certain sense. Mm. But I also think that we have not heard the last word on Kylo Ren and the light side.
Oh, no, no.
I think, and rightfully so, I think the two sides of the Force have two entirely different people that you're dealing with. I think Kylo has two distinct personalities.
There's some wild, good speculation, which I guess we'll get to later when we get to.
And when he said, "Will you help me?" and his father Han said, "Yes," and he was handing that saber over. He was legit handing that saber.
See,
over.
I don't think so.
No,
I think,
absolutely. I think he's absolutely. And then JJ's brilliance with the coming down of the dark.
The lighting
was
fantastic.
And then he fires it off. And I'll tell you why I think that way. Because what's his line right after he stabs him?
I don't remember.
You've seen.
Thank you.
Oh.
And the reason he says that is because. Prior to that, in the conversation, he says, I can't figure... Essentially, he's saying, I can't figure out what to do. I can't justify one side or the other. Killing his father kills the light side in him, and that's why he thinks.
I agree with that part, but I think he went in. I think he intended to take him out.
No way.
I don't think that was a last minute judgment.
And the other side of it. I mean, I'll throw it out there now. Yeah. The Darth Snape theory that's going around, where he needed something to what he wants to finish that Grandpa started is wiping out the dark side, wiping out the Sith, which is something that Vader started in Return of the Jedi when he crossed over to the light, and that's why he's struggling so much between light and dark, and then realizes the only way for me to get in there is to. Fully engage with the dark side. Will you help me? Yes. Well, I got to kill you to do it.
So that's a running theory that he's done to solidify his position with Snoke.
And come in and finish the deed. So that's a running theory, which I dub the Darth Snape theory.
I think he is simply insane.
He is simply
split down the middle between the light side and the dark, and he can't justify either side. And by killing his father, it washes. I think we're gonna see him flip every movie until he dies.
Mm.
I think he's gonna absolutely. I think he's at least gonna flip at least twice more before he dies.
If he flips, he's definitely gonna die. If he flips right at the end. A la Vader, I'm okay with that. But if he keeps on going back and forth, I think that's going to bore me.
I don't disagree with you, but I can see why they would want to do it because the struggle is real. Mm. Think about it from the aspect of Anakin. Okay,
yeah,
he's Anakin Episode 2 right now,
of
essentially
course.
Being torn in two different directions, but he doesn't have a clone war to distract him from the dark side. He doesn't have that. He's not going to have that. And the problem is that because he doesn't have that distraction, and because he has Snoke in his ear way more than Palpatine was in, just look at the cartoon, way more than Palpatine was in Anakin's ear in that time period. He's got Snoke about to crawl up his ass and finish his training, even though we don't know what Snoke is. We don't know that Snoke is even a Sith.
Right. We don't.
We have no idea. And. I'll tell you another funny popular theory that I'm perpetuating around about Snoke in a bit, but I think that's exactly what we're seeing is his insane struggle. It's what Anakin would have been if there was no Clone War, pulled back and forth between the sides, and I think that's exactly what this kid is going.
He might have a little bit of a struggle, but I think he just goes all out dark. and then maybe has a redemption at the
end.
And
the lighting choice in that, I think, is something that sells me more on that theory, because they literally – I thought initially it was subtle, and then on second viewing, I'm like, it's not subtle at all. Literally half his face is in a bluish-white light side sort of cast, and then the other side is in that red cast. And then the whole thing washes over when the sun goes out from the Starkiller charging and making him completely red. And that sells me on the theory of that was his turn to the dark side. He's done.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe we'll see a mirroring Jedi. We'll see his redemption. But I don't even know if he'll get that far. He's that fucking nuts.
Well,
I don't think so.
I don't know.
So that's kind of, I think anybody who's complaining about how whiny he was, I've seen so many people, he's such a nerd, and why did he take off his mask? He's so look at who his fucking relatives are. Two of the whiniest characters in film history. Luke is a whiny bitch. Even in Jedi, he's still got a little bit of whine in him.
He's going to get power converters.
He's going to Tashi Station to get power converters. And Hayden Christensen was whiny even up to his no, he was just whiny.
Yeah.
So of course he's whiny. It runs in the family.
Well, and I mean he's a kid.
Of course
he's a kid with incredible power at his disposal.
He has how many temper tantrums during that movie and just destroys everything around him.
Yeah. I love that GIF file that's going around of the two stormtroopers rounding the corner as he's having his spit, and they stop and you see the big meme letters. Nope. And then they go.
Uh-huh.
So, so that's kind of Kylo and some of our takes on what he is or where he's coming, right?
I think it's important to note also that it wasn't the only time he took off his mask was not only with his father, and he also did the same thing with Rey earlier in that scene. And I think for me, that kind of cements again the sort of struggle between being the guy in the mask like his grandfather and – you know, trying to figure out why this is happening to him.
Yeah, I can't look. He took off his mask a couple times, and people are complaining about that too. And I'm like, he doesn't need it. It's not a necessity for him,
right?
Right.
And so it's an intimidation factor, and it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the kid in school who's wearing the, you know, he's wearing something to intimidate somebody. He's wearing something to make himself look cooler, so to speak. I mean, that's what it is. So I have no problem with him taking it off when appropriate. It's probably stuffy as hell in there.
He's the kid in school wearing grandpa's, you know, World War II Army jacket.
Yeah,
or something,
right. Exactly.
You know? It's not required for him to survive. It's just,
it's completely logical to me that he takes off the mask whenever he feels it's appropriate to take off the mask.
Well, it's also really important to note that he did not get out of that base with that mask.
No?
No, it was on the bridge, and when he came out of there, he did not have that mask on. Remember, he fights Finn and Rey in the woods, and there is no mask. Mm. So, assuming he made it off the planet, they're either going to have to remake that mask, and who knows, because now since he's injured in the face...
Well, he's got a big nasty scar now.
Well, now he'll have a reason to keep the mask on going forward as a result of that scar. I absolutely think that's the case. And I think that's part of his... I think that's part of his transition into, especially in his own mind, that's part of his transition into becoming his grandfather.
Yep.
Is, you know, he needs that mask now, much like Vader needed the suit. It's, you know, it's... But it's much more like... I'm trying to think who's a good character that wore the mask.
Didn't
really need it.
Doctor,
you know,
Doom.
It was kind of all in his own head, and it was his hubris and his ego and all those other things that kind of played into it.
So he took a shot from Chewie, kind of the side of his chest, and he was pounding on that wound. Do you think that's furthering the? Is he trying to inflict more damage to? You know, give reason to have that. You know,
I think he's trying to get himself angry.
I think he's trying to
King Kong chest pounding kind of stuff.
I think he was pushing himself further. I also think he was being, again, intimidating by saying, yeah, I'm wounded, but I'm still going to fight you, you know, to Finn. And I think that was, I think that was great. And the fact that they showed the blood pouring out of the wound on the ground, I thought was really great.
Yeah.
How he took a bowcaster shot. From Chewie, however, in the side and is still up and walking around when Han shot guys with the bowcaster in armor who are deader than hell. That was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and
good device, but still.
We're not done with Kylo either, because he definitely has some force powers we haven't seen before, right? Right? Like the stopping the blaster bolt in its
That's new.
Yeah, that's a new one.
And that's advanced.
High level of control because he has stopped the blast and
paused it. He's a bowl of rice.
He's conducting business and whatnot. We see Vader interacting with New Hope.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. We see Vader interacting in New Hope as he's choking out the one dude and everything, and he's carrying on the conversation while that's going on. So it's possible to be distracted while you got one thing going on, but that's heavy duty. You got a blaster bolt in
midair. Was there any evidence of powers like that in the prequel? I was having this conversation.
I don't think so. Not that advanced.
Because I don't know why I have a sneaking suspicion that somebody stopped a bolt like that in one of those movies, I could be wrong.
If it was, it would have been Qui-Gon Jinn in that very first encounter he has with him and Obi-Wan.
I don't think it was episode one.
It could also be a dark side ability. You know,
it could be.
Maybe it's not specific to the light, but Dooku never did it.
But I mean,
Maul never did it.
It's the incredible strength of stopping something with incredible velocity. When all the rocks and the cave was collapsing in Attack of the Clones, and Yoda stops all that stuff from piling on top of Obi-Wan. That's a pretty heavy duty force stop.
It could also be something that they were all able to do but chose not to. For show reasons. Think about it. There's something very intimidating. There's something intimidating about both methods, but there's kind of something intimidating at shooting someone. You know, they have a lightsaber and you're shooting at them and they're just blocking everything and just walking towards you. That's kind of scary as shit.
Ash Jango Fett.
Yeah, exactly. But
right.
Stopping it. So maybe it's something they could do, but they never did.
Right.
I don't know if they'll ever explore that or if that's us just being a bit.
But that's okay.
More observant, but that's okay. It's unique. It was a nice device.
Not for Kylo. It was a nice device for Finn.
Yeah.
Because Finn is just looking at it, and when Kylo leaves, it just hits. It hits that fountain or whatever the hell is standing there, and he's just like, you know, shocked by it. Right. So
As far as force powers that are new, the mind reading angle of things feels a little new to me, though. That depth of mind reading. I don't know that we've ever seen somebody really poke around in someone's brain like that.
Is it that, or is it a focus? Because we definitely have Vader doing that to Luke in Return of the Jedi.
He's not reading his mind.
Absolutely,
is
sister. So you have a sister.
Yeah.
So
right.
I mean, there's got to be some level of that that's prevalent. Maybe this is a deeper, more concentrated. I mean, obviously Luke in that scene is obviously trying really hard to block it out, and obviously he doesn't have sort of the, you know, really close range and so on. Maybe there's all those factors that come into play. This is something that they can do. And again, I seem to recall, not in the prequels, but something in Clone Wars that seems to me that was very similar to that. So I'm wondering, again, if this is something that we haven't seen very much of or very often, but it's maybe one of those things that, you know, that they pulled from canon and are like, oh, we should use this power. Just as an example.
All right, let's talk about Snoke since we mentioned him a couple of times.
So here's my favorite theory that I'm perpetuating about Snoke.
Okay.
He's 3 feet tall.
Oh, no, I agree. I think that's absolutely the case. Actually, I think there's a mock-up or an artwork of him that kind of indicates that he's a bitty thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that. But I think the fact that he is an enormous seated hologram and if he just scrolls out and he's like, he's 3 feet, he's Yoda.
It's pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
If he's anti-Yoda, I think I would die laughing.
I mean, well, think about it, though. When Vader speaks with Palpatine in Empire.
Yeah. Enormous.
It's another enormous projection. Yeah. So he could be normal size.
I just think it would be funny
but
if he wasn't.
But that would be hilarious.
No, I think he is a bitty thing.
Cabbage Patch Poke. or Snoke, rather.
Let's talk about who he isn't, at least if you listen to J.J. Abrams and Andy Serkis and a bevy of other people. He's not Darth Plagueis, if you listen to those people.
Okay.
They say, you know, Andy Serkis says that name was never used and that they weren't even familiar with it, blah, 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 or some shit.
Wow.
I don't think that it's Darth Plagueis. I don't even think that they took Darth Plagueis. I don't know who it is, honestly. I thought it was Darth Plagueis at first. I really did.
Could be a totally new guy.
But they actually reference Plagueis in Clone Wars
Plagueis is a he's mentioned different
in,
race.
He's mentioned in Attack of the Clones, too, I think.
There's a book. In the, what
that's
book
what
was it?
Attack of the Clones, yeah.
There's a it was a Darth Plagueis book. I think that's canon.
Yeah, but they could have changed his race for the movie and just used
it's canon.
The character.
I think the book is canon.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty sure.
So Plagueis is human? Or humanoid?
He's not. No.
He's not.
No. Not in the books.
Well,
I don't
Snoke is humanoid.
Snoke is a humanoid. Well, yeah, he's a humanoid, but that's not – whatever that is not his – he's a very defined race. I just don't remember which one it is off the top of my head.
So here's – this is a wild kind of out there sort of thing. But considering the sound of his voice, the choice that Andy Serkis made, the familiar-ish appearance of Snoke, what do you think is the possibility or the odds that he is a – perhaps even a botched – or not properly aged clone of
Palpatine. I don't think they're going down that road.
I'm not comfortable. I have a problem with clones. fucking Spider-Man. No, I don't know. I mean, it could be. Look, anything is possible. I like that he's a mystery. I like that we didn't get a lot of him.
And I don't think we're going to get a lot of him next film either. I think, again, I think
breadcrumbs until the third
I think
one.
It's yep. pointing towards, yeah, the yeah. third film.
The
I
third
think
act.
The middle film is going to be lots of well, obviously, Luke's going to be back. So there's going to be a lot of, so what the fuck happened?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I think we're going to get a lot. I think a lot of that is going to be episode 8.
Episode 8 is going to be the exposition.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just what they need to title it.
Episode 8 is going to be. Is going to be episode 6.5 is what it's going to be.
Episode 8, shit happened. Here it is. Just one long time. Just one long scroll.
Once
you're going to read
time.
Episode 8. The music is going to change
the entire
in the background.
Movie is That's a two-hour crawl.
That's it. It's one, just one crawl.
And then.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Finn. Let's move to Finn next.
Okay.
A lot of complaints about Finn, a lot of love for Finn. Who is Finn? Who does he compare to with New Hope?
What is the complaint?
Well, some of the complaints I've read is
that he's black.
No, that he's useless. That he's a useless character. That's stupid. And there's some other complaints about some of the choices he made. Of course he's a hero, and he's absolutely not useless. He has probably the biggest – he has the Han Solo moment. It just happens right at the beginning of the film, but he has that crisis of consciousness right at the beginning of the film.
Well, it's sort of defining his character for the rest of the
course.
Film.
Of course.
He's also going to be the love interest of Rey. Is anybody not seeing that at this point?
No, of course. Of course. Okay. He's clearly in love with her by the end of that movie. I don't think she's in love with him, but he's clearly in love with her.
When
by
he's
the end of that movie.
And I think I felt it the most when they snatched her off of wherever the temple was, when they snatched her from there, and that run and scream, and that was full. That was John Boyega's mouth could not get any wider open when he was screaming. Right, it's like, like it was huge.
I don't know. I don't think any of you are looking at how he and Poe are looking at each other throughout that whole movie.
Yeah,
well,
no.
Poe
apparently is a running thing.
Poe
looks
at him
the
like,
fuck out of the
have
two
you
of
seen
them.
That meme? I just want to be looked at the way Poe looks at Finn when he sees him in his jacket. Finn is the Han kind of sort of character, I think, in
is
this
he?
One. Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
I kind of think that he's that kind of character. He's kind of
– I'm not with you on that.
Kind of starts at the – he kind of has that moment where he changes sides a little bit. He thinks about it a little bit. He's not exactly Han. And look, there are no – I don't think – while there are certainly a lot of similarities to New Hope, I am not one of the people that think they simply rehashed
it's,
New
yeah,
Hope.
It's
and,
not a, it's
and
not
I
a
hate
remake.
That.
Yeah,
and
right.
I hate that.
Tired
idea.
Of that argument.
But I think that he's sort of in that character type.
I liked
a
better
similar character
when
type.
It was called New Hope.
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
Did.
It's yeah, not so. Even remotely the yeah. same. Well, because there's a desert planet that doesn't make it the same.
Of course it doesn't.
Well, there was a snow planet, too. Is it also Empire? At
There are parallels, and I think those are deliberate parallels.
Absolutely.
Not from a remake perspective, but from a, hey, her history repeats itself.
Well, that's
dynamic.
Sure. And there are also parallels to the prequels.
Yep. Not only that, but
no
think
one's
about
talking
it.
About those.
Nope.
You're really dealing with one family. With a lot of fucking problems.
Mm-hmm.
So shit repeats itself just because of the nature of the world within that, the scope
just
of that
like
family.
The royals.
Exactly.
Wow.
Oh, yikes. I thought Finn was a great character. I thought John Boyega did a great job with him. I have
really
no complaints
great.
About Finn at all.
Can we talk about, have you seen any of the 1,000 racist jokes that are going around?
No, thank God.
I saw the only thing racist I had ever seen was when the trailer first hit. Everybody lost their mind over a black stormtrooper.
Yeah,
I don't work for Blazing
Saddles. Nothing since then. Nothing about how he worked for sanitation.
Oh no, I haven't seen that.
Nothing about that. Nothing about how he took Poe's leather jacket. Anybody?
Wow.
You haven't seen the one where it's like it's showing him from behind, and it's like an eight ball on the back of the jacket.
I haven't seen.
Don't see those either.
No, I haven't.
No, man, there's a bunch of different.
Thank
ones.
Thank God,
yeah.
Though, because that would just make me mad. But yeah, I mean.
Oh yeah, I know. It would make you terribly mad.
It would because
you didn't get it out there first.
I think no. Come on, I think Finn's a great character.
Yeah, I'm not disparaging his character. I'm just saying shit's funny.
Are we missing anything with Finn?
I think we.
Oh well, the giant red herring of we haven't revealed who he is and who his name. He's nobody.
He's nobody. I absolutely
and let's be
think
clear
that.
About that. There's going to be no big revelation.
That's an awfully wide open door, though, for them to just leave hanging. You don't think they're going to sprout some sort of
you know what, though? I
who
think
his family
who?
Is.
I
which,
think his
which
story
in my,
is if, more interesting if he's nobody.
And I agree with that, because here's my problem with it. If they said, well, he's the son of Lando, or he's a descendant of Mace Windu, then you go right into what? The only guys in the whole universe know each other.
Oh, no,
and
no,
are
I got another one for you. He's the grandson of Captain Panaka.
Wow.
Nice.
That's another one I'm floating around.
Good for you for pulling that name
I
out
know,
of your ass, too.
Right?
Holy shit.
Another one. He's a descendant of the ice cream man from Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, come on. There's a few in there. Come on.
No, yeah, I think he's definitely
Wait,
more
my
interesting.
Name is Panaka? Finn Panaka?
His name isn't even Finn.
Exactly.
No, I think he's just much more interesting if you don't know a lot about
him.
He
isn't. He's nobody.
I think he's nobody.
And I would be upset, I think, at this point, if he was somebody.
Yeah, I
would
agree.
Be upset about him.
Because we've established already the other, I mean, with Rey, which we'll get into who we speculate who she is,
right.
and Kylo. Like, we have enough people that are connected of the new characters to
everybody
else.
Doesn't have to be somebody.
Let Finn be Finn, just like Poe is Poe.
Poe is Poe.
Well, are we going to talk about Poe? Because I think Poe is I think if we're doing archetypes, Poe is Han Solo. He's a cocky, brash, arrogant
behaviorally,
pilot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but
he's not a smuggler. He's not a scumbag. Yeah. We don't know what he did before the war. So, like, I'm just saying, like, I like him, and I like him the same way, in many aspects, the same way I liked Han Solo. He just hasn't grown into the cockiness yet.
Yeah. I'm just glad they didn't kill him off. Because initially, the reason he disappears early on in the film is because he was done. That was the end of him, and they kind of reworked it to get him back
really?
In the mix.
I didn't know
yeah.
That.
Yeah, I like him. I hope he has a strong return.
You know, enjoyed the character more, so they're like, hey, you're sticking around.
Good.
Which is great. I mean, and they couldn't have... That man is a tremendous, tremendous performer. Jesus.
I agree.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in anything until X-Men Age of Apocalypse that I haven't liked him in.
Yeah. he's got an Oscar.
Then I will hate him.
He's got an Oscar coming his way eventually. And quick side note, should Robert Downey Jr. ever... should Marvel choose to continue with Tony Stark... When Robert Downey Jr. leaves, that man's a prime candidate to take that role over.
That's not
going to
happen.
Probably not, because chances are he won't be interested in it. Or who knows? I mean, they could drive a truck of money to his house and
sure.
do that.
It also depends on how entwined he is with
but,
the
But I've been movies. Had been racking my brain for a while. Like, what actors could replace RDJ in that? And that man is right on the money.
I don't think they
The only one that could do it if they chose
they
to do it.
Them.
Can we go back to Han and Kylo?
Yeah.
And for a bit. Do we have to say anything specific about Han other than I think they used him very well?
Perfectly.
Perfect.
Yeah. Outstanding.
I loved
Brought the humor back.
Yep.
Brought all the aspects of Han Solo's character that you loved were present in this movie.
Where does the life debt go? Does it transfer?
No. I think, well, first of all.
Does it even get addressed?
Hold on.
I don't even know that it gets addressed.
Hold on. First of all, when was the life debt established?
We'll see that in a movie eventually.
The Christmas special, which is not canon.
It wasn't mentioned anywhere else?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I thought it was someplace else.
Nope. So, I think what we're going to find out is, I think in the young Han Solo movie, I think if there's any kind of life debt like that, I think we're going to find out about it then.
Okay. That makes sense.
The other part is...
The talk of life debt was nowhere else, not in a canon book anywhere.
I thought it was.
Even canon book?
The old school Han Solo books, those are all wiped.
But they're not canon.
They're not canon.
That's what I mean. They're...
Yeah, they explain that there is a life debt, but it hasn't been mentioned in canon yet. And if it hasn't been mentioned in canon, and they're doing a young Han Solo film, if it's going to happen, we're not going to see it.
It's going to happen.
There we go.
Okay. All right.
Now, that said... if there is a life debt, you would have think that at some point it might have gotten mentioned during this movie, so that when they do move forward, where does it go?
Yeah.
With Chewie? Where does Chewie go?
Well,
does Chewie just Rey's co-pilot now?
See, I don't think he's Rey's co-pilot. I think he's Finn's co-pilot.
No.
I think him and Finn become the new buddy duo. For as long as Chewie is still with us.
I like that. I like the idea.
Because I think Rey is going to be too involved with Luke.
No, I totally agree. We should get to Rey.
Well, I want to save Rey for last because I think that's the biggest one.
I don't know. I think Chewie's up in the air at this point. I really honestly think that maybe they retire Chewie. I don't know.
He doesn't join Leia. He's not the type.
No.
He's going to be in the action wherever it's at. If he sticks around.
I think he buddies up with Finn. That's what I think.
And I mean, what does Peter Mayhew want to do? It doesn't matter.
Is he coming back? He didn't do half of what you saw in that film anyway.
And even if he doesn't, you don't need. Sad as it is, you don't need Peter Mayhew to do Chewbacca.
You're going to recast Chewbacca. Or you're not. Or you're going to retire the character, which is what everybody thought they were going to do by killing him in this film.
They can bump him off in the next one.
Maybe. That all said, one little side note about Han and Chewie for a second. Han and Chewie have been together, most of Han's life, if that's to be believed. He's never fired the bowcaster.
You know what, though? I was okay with that.
I just thought it was really funny.
And I'll tell
you
why.
But I was just like, well, that's a little, fetched.
I'll tell you why. Because Han seems to be the guy who is confident in his pistol and nothing else.
Yeah.
And Chewie doesn't seem to be the guy to loan his bowcaster to somebody.
I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
I think it was a
humorous moment.
I played out perfectly. But yeah, to me, I don't even know if it would ever cross his mind. Han has said in the past,
right?
Nothing beats a trusty blaster at your side. Like, that's his choice.
I think the way he played it was almost like, why have I never done this
before? Yeah.
This thing's fucking cool. Yeah. You're holding out, Furball.
I think Chewie's future's up in the air. That's what I think.
Absolutely. But before he's up in the air, I don't think he just fades into the ground in front of a fireplace. I don't think he just fades into the background. I think he's got some adventure left in him, which leads to his unfortunate death. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Phasma.
Phasma is the Boba Fett of this movie.
And my opinion on Phasma, and you can disagree with me. Some people have liked it, but...
Wait, hold on. I want to adjust my mic. Hold on. Okay, all right, I'm ready.
I think Phasma is literally the Boba Fett of the movie. I think she leaves the First Order at the end of the first movie.
No. I thought I was the only one having that in my head.
And I think she leaves the First Order, and she is obsessed with the fact that Finn got away, and she takes it as her life mission, and she's the Boba Fett because she leaves the First Order and becomes essentially a bounty hunter for Finn.
Which of you two have read Aftermath completely?
I have not. No, I know after
I started
your,
it.
After your slam of it, I didn't even start.
I didn't enjoy it, but it is a canon book.
Right.
Yes. There's another one coming, too.
There's a trilogy of these books. And here, I'm hoping – I'm going to read the other Chuck Wendig books, and I'm hoping that now that Force Awakens is out, they're letting him write a little bit more freely.
Right.
Because Aftermath really read like he was just hamstrung and just couldn't talk about a goddamn thing.
Right.
So it was really this nothing to do with anything kind of book. But the thoughts that I have may kind of spoil the book a little for you. You want me to continue? Because
I don't care.
Okay.
Because I may never read the book.
I'll say this much. Boba Fett's armor is seen in Aftermath.
Okay.
It's making rounds in Aftermath. So it's entirely possible. Now, Aftermath is very, very shortly after the Battle of Endor. But it's entirely possible this armor is bouncing around and almost getting this sort of legendary status like the lightsaber in the trunk.
Right.
And I've been having the thought, like, you know, Phasma's been disgraced. You know, maybe she just says the hell with this whole Empire thing and goes and find a different set of cool-looking armor. and takes on the mantle of Fett. I think that is entirely possible.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't thought about
that. And that would be fucking
Dread Pirate Roberts.
The Dread exactly. Bounty Hunter Boba Fett.
I haven't thought about the armor amazing. Angle because I kind of think that they wouldn't want to get rid of the chrome. It's kind of cool looking.
I don't think she's leaving the First Order at all. I think she's going to be part of the regrouping. I think she's probably going to have a bigger presence in the second movie than the first. And I think there was
she's definitely
a
around, by the way. People who think episode eight
is her introduction. Yeah.
I think she's the one who's training all of these troopers. So I don't think they're going to get rid of her. I think they're just going to up her.
But that's a huge disgrace to the First Order. And you let slip away the guy that led to the Starkiller being destroyed.
And that said, I think she'll want redemption. So I think part of what you're saying is correct. And I think there's aspects of what PK is saying that I feel are probably going to be correct. But I think overall there isn't going to be a great change in her character except maybe her focus and her drive.
Okay.
I don't know that the First Order not hanging done. On to her, though?
Yeah.
After what you just said. Yeah. You know, she's responsible for Starkiller Base
blowing up.
Getting blown to bits. It's her fault.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I don't know. But look, there's clearly a lot of room for her to grow, and that's great.
We know she's in it. We know every single person that was in Episode 7 is in Episode 8.
Right.
All of them.
I mean, yes.
Even Max von Sydow. Like, everybody's in that movie. So it's, you know, we're totally going to see her again. We'll just have to wait and see direction. Can we talk about one of the surprise characters episode 7?
Sure.
Admiral Akbar returning. Tim Rose in the suit. Eric Bowersfield doing the voice.
And he aged beautifully. not a single gray on the little chin tentacles. Nothing.
I was really happy about that. You know, I was really happy about that because I saw the two of them at Celebration, and I knew something was up.
Nice.
I knew it. I hope we're getting a figure. Oh, I know we're getting a pop.
Yep.
I saw that. That's coming in the pops. That's coming. So yeah, Akbar fans unite.
Here's the figure I want.
Okay.
I want a Sideshow Stormtrooper 6th scale 12-inch figure, and the specific one I want is either a Luke or a Han.
Okay.
I want to remove the head, the Luke or Han head from there, and I want to go to eBay and find one of the people that's making the custom Daniel Craig Bond heads.
Nice.
And I want to put that on the Stormtrooper, a First Order Stormtrooper. No, you know what? I need a First Order Stormtrooper that I can pop the head off of.
Well, those are not so hard to get. But what I was going to say is they just released images of the Finn.
And the Stormtrooper,
unbelievable.
Looks great.
It's a Hot Toys one?
It's Hot Toys. Yeah. It's nice. All 6-inch are mostly Hot Toys now coming from Sideshow. I think Sideshow's kind of backing off 12-inch and kind of pushing Hot Toys up a little bit. Which is fine. It sucks because they're expensive, but you've seen them, Ken. You know they're worth it. That said, as amazing as the Finn is, and it is amazing, have you seen the Rey?
Oh, stunning. Yeah.
Unstunning.
Freaking
believable. I'm even on the border of getting that. I'm mostly because I want BB-8, but I'm like,
I think
wow.
I think gorgeous, in the coming weeks, piece. We're going to have some like Star Wars product segments to go along with it, but let's try to push through
the movie. Yeah, I got it.
All right, so BB-8, it was not the Jar Jar of the movie. No. I loved him. I thought he was great.
He was great.
BB-8 stole
the
show.
He's not replacing R2-D2.
Correct.
I will say that if for some reason, somehow, some way, in a weird alternate universe, they did an animated series that was BB-8, Chopper, and R2.
Bring back droids?
Shit out of that show.
No. Best thumbs up possibly in any movie ever, by the way, came from BB-8. Yeah.
So BB-8 was great. I thought he was, you know, the mechanics of him were great. He played perfectly in the film.
He was actually there.
Yeah, exactly.
That was great.
Yeah. All right. I think Rey is the only one that's... Oh, Leia. Well, is there anything Leia we have to say about Leia? She was there.
I mean,
she served her role well.
She actually... Carrie Fisher. Hats off to Carrie Fisher. Yeah. She looked great.
Yeah.
Considering the age amount of time
and considering the shit she's been through in between,
and her and her performance was really good, like much better than Jedi. I thought, you know, she didn't look coked out in this movie. But no, that said I thought she did a really great job, and she's clearly moving forward
into
the other films.
So good on her. All right.
And her handling of it on Twitter has been beautiful.
We don't have to really talk about Luke, by the way.
Sure, we can talk about
it. Yeah, he was in the movie for 15 seconds.
Let's talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Dig his beard.
Yep. Yeah. Dig the costume. Yeah. Dig the mind. Do not believe he's standing over a grave.
No.
I don't care what anybody says.
Wait, somebody said he was standing over a
over
grave?
Over a grave. At a grave.
Whose grave?
I didn't think
well,
that. I didn't think
well,
was a grave.
Let's get into Ray, and then we'll talk about whose grave everybody thinks this is.
Okay. Do you think she's his?
Yes.
You do?
Yep.
Because I kind of like the Kenobi angle.
No. No. Mm-mm.
I kind of like the Kenobi angle.
I'm gonna give my Kenobi angle when we get around to it. But
I think it's fairly obvious at this point that it's Luke's daughter. And I'll give you a few reasons why. One, why does Leia have a conversation with her apart from everybody else and a hug and a big emotional moment? She clearly knows who that kid is. And why does Han offer her a job and is, you know, they're all concerned about getting her back and so on and so forth? She's a little scavenger person. Yeah, it's nice that she helped out and all that. But really, at the end of the day, who the fuck is she that Han Solo is going to go attack this base and not the entire entirety of the resistance? Who is this girl? The only explanation. And lastly, and I'm not even going to talk. Well, I'll put it as a sidebar. Let's say that whole connection to the saber thing and all that, you know, and all that moment with Maz Kanata, whatever her name is, all that
Estelle Getty.
Yeah. Estelle Getty. All that stuff aside, right? All that stuff aside, why send Rey at the end of the movie to find Luke? Why Rey?
Because she's the one that's
hold
more
on.
Sensitive.
Hold
on.
So what?
Much more than sensitive.
So what? They had a map. Why didn't she send? Hold on.
Did they send her or did she go of her own accord?
No, they sent her because Leia's saying goodbye to her and they're going.
Yeah, but I think that's intentional. I think that.
Yes, it is intentional. It is intentional. Leia is intentionally sending her to go find Luke is the keystone to the resistance being able to overcome everything. She's saying it the whole movie. Does she send an armed band of people there to protect him and get him? Does she go herself to get her brother? Does she send Poe Dameron, the hero of the resistance?
But there's a good explanation why she doesn't send those people.
Why?
Because I think that Luke doesn't want to be found. And if she sends anybody other than someone who's maybe unassuming.
It doesn't matter if he wants to be found at this point. She wants him found. They're all talking about finding him.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I honestly do think she's probably Luke's daughter. But I'm not entirely opposed to the concept that Luke knows who she is, but that she's a Kenobi. I just kind of like it. It just kind of something
There's
about
no
it just
way
seems
she's
cool.
a Kenobi.
You ready for this one? I think she is Luke's kid, and I think she's Ben's granddaughter.
That could be.
Here's my thought, and we're looking at potentially getting because Ewan McGregor is chomping at the bit to get a solo Obi-Wan film.
Right.
Oh, I think we're going to see that happen.
He's trying to get that book recanonized.
Mm.
He's talked about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing in that book. Have you read the Kenobi book?
No.
Ken, you have to
novel?
Read this. Yeah. Kenobi?
Don't you yell at me, motherfucker.
I'll read the book.
I know. Listen. No, listen.
You threaten me?
No, hold on. PK. No, it should be said. PK is a humongous Obi-Wan Kenobi
fan,
right?
Of course.
I swear to you, PK, I read that book and I was chomping at the bit to see this as a film.
Nice.
That said,
when does it take place?
It takes place between between 3 and 4.
Between 3 and 4.
Okay.
Right. So he's on Tatooine. You'll read it. You'll love it. But let me just tell you this: it's the last novel to come out before the cutoff of canonization. There's nothing in that book. Nothing in that book that could not. That should have decanonized that
Let
book.
Me ask you about that book. Does he have a love interest in that book?
I don't want to say anything.
Okay. Then I'm going to give my projection.
Okay.
Obi-Wan goes off to the desert. The Jedi are pretty much awash at this point, so their Jedi rules are fucking out the window. So Obi-Wan finds himself a cutie.
Right.
And in the process of, you know, hanging out with that cutie, he manages to have himself a kid somewhere in there.
Sure.
A daughter, let's say. Let's call her, I don't know, Mara Jade Kenobi. let's go that route.
Yeah.
And he has her not long after the events of Revenge of the Sith, because then that would make her roughly Luke's age when we get to New Hope time, 19, 18, 17-ish, when Luke is coming up. And Luke is 19 when we get to New Hope. So fast forward now. Jedi happens. Luke is, you know, dealing with the death of his father and dealing with trying to remount the Jedi. And somewhere along the line, he meets this Force-sensitive girl, this Mara Jade Kenobi. That's maybe part of the training that he's trying to remount right. the Jedi with and all that. Falls in love, blah, blah, blah. And 11-ish years or so after the Battle of Endor, gets married, bangs her, has a kid. 19 years later is Ren, Rey in the new film.
I'm okay with it.
Because there's so many things about Rey. And the Kenobi thing initially, I was like, get the fuck out of here, not Kenobi's kid. But there's so many things that she does that are Kenobi-esque. She takes by the balls the "these aren't the droids you're looking for" sort of thing with Stormtrooper James Bond. The sneaking and poking around in Starkiller Base is ripped right out of the Kenobi playbook,
sure,
more so than Luke. So there's Kenobi-isms to the way she operates. I think that's what I'm putting my money on, is I think it's going to be revealed that she's got both in the mix. And also, it could harken back to why the fuck they named Kylo Ben. You know, maybe there's more to that, the whole Kenobi relationship and that clearly, tie as well. Yeah. If they do make her a Kenobi, it almost takes the whole entire saga and makes it Ben Kenobi's story, than Darth Vader's redemption. Up to this point, it's been all about Darth Vader.
Unless, of course, it ends up being Rey versus Kylo at the end, which just harkens back to Ben versus Vader, and it's the perfect story.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's really both of their redemptions in a weird way.
Yeah. So I
guess it's Ben's way of correcting what went wrong with Anakin.
Yeah. So it's the story of not just the Skywalker family, but it's the Skywalker and Kenobi's.
So let's accept that as a theory. Personally, I think that's way too insular, and I don't think they're going to go in that direction. But all right, I accept it as a theory, and I accept the theory that it's Luke's daughter also.
Right.
I also accept the theory that she and Kylo are twins, and that JJ is red herring the shit out of us in the first movie.
Entirely
which
possible.
Would also explain why Leia has a moment with her at the end, because although she didn't raise her, she was obviously sent to Jakku when she was 4 or 5, whatever it was, because they needed to hide her for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. That one to me... that's the least of my favorites.
I agree, and I don't like it either. And I
like that they're not.
I think it would be a really bad explanation if it was, which is why Luke's daughter again makes more sense. Or my favorite theory of all, she's nobody.
Also entirely possible.
She is a Force-sensitive person with no lineage. The Force is not hereditary.
Here's where I quit, though. If they make her a fucking Force baby.
Oh, God, no.
A la Immaculate Conception Anakin.
I don't think they'll ever go that route.
No, they'll never go that route again. No. That's too close to midichlorians. Yeah, that's why I don't. That's why I would be excited if she was absolutely no one.
It's the two things that I would want out of this new saga and kind of the readjusting of the canon is, A, don't fucking dare make her a Force baby, and B, give Anakin a father that... Fucking if Jedi mind wipes are actually a power that they reveal to be a thing in this new canon, which is not canon right now. Yeah. It's part of the old canon. But if they reveal the mind wipe thing to be a thing, give Anakin a father who fucking mind wiped Shmi.
Snoke.
You know.
Oh, shit.
No,
well. And done.
You know what? It's like I said, though, and
Daddy.
And there's a great way to look at midichlorians, and there's a great way to look at those things, sure. And it's the way that I suggest to everybody who hates the prequels about how to view them. If you view them as legends, that's exactly
sure.
Any of that stuff can be can be interpreted in any number of different ways. So I always view the prequels as legends, and then it's really easy to kind of write stuff off.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that the aging doesn't line up at all. Well, you know, I think he was around such and such. You know, like that kind of – well, and Jedi's jump 2 stories at a clip.
Yeah.
Well, it was maybe that far of a jump, and maybe they got a little shimmy down first. You know, like that kind of thing. That's the way I tell people to view those movies as. It's almost as if somebody is telling the story. Like if 3PO was telling the story to somebody. Mm. That's what the prequels are.
I've never heard that outlook on the prequels.
Yeah.
That changes the game a little bit.
And that actually...
I dig that.
Yeah, and if you... And everything is so clean. And everything is so pristine.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that kind of sort of removed from reality. If we consider 4, 5, and 6 reality. 1, 2, and 3 are even visually sort of removed from the reality of 4, 5, and 6. That if you do that, you kind of, oh, yeah, okay. You know, like, all right, well, yeah, something happened there. But was it exactly the way that that storyteller? Yeah. Well, it might have been a little bit different. And I think that is the best way to approach the prequels, because that does give room for all kinds of stuff. That, you know,
to
that,
be
that,
corrected,
to be corrected, yeah. And so on and so forth.
You've interested me in giving them a rewatch.
Yeah,
and I didn't touch the prequels going into my setup for episode 7.
And I think
7.
If you and do I, and you watch it that way, you're like, oh, you, well, yeah, okay.
You
like,
may have given me a new lease on life on those films. And
I'm still glad.
Dreadful, but
they are. But
that's an interesting new approach.
If it removes part of it from, you know, like that kind of. You know, that can kind of make them palatable almost.
I think with all of that, we have to start wrapping up a little bit.
Yeah,
where are we at?
We're running along here. And, you know, with
imagine
our...
that. We haven't been on in 3 weeks and we're running long.
No, I know. But here, I'm going to pull back the curtain for a minute. When we put together the show every week, right around the 1 hour markers where I tend to have problems with the machine actually boiling down the show.
Oh, I
guess. I don't want to push it too far is all I'm saying.
Lord.
I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, it's a gamble.
What episode is this?
397.
Wow. So in 3 weeks, we're doing our 400th episode?
In theory.
Wow.
In 3 weeks or 3 months. Your choice.
And March is our 10th anniversary,
yeah.
Right?
Damn.
Whoa.
That being said, we want to hear some of your theories or where you differ from us or what we said that maybe you agree with. So give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of this show.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we are going to, I mean, you know, give us a call and let us know what you think about different people and theories and so on. And there's a million fucking rumors out there about everything.
Because we don't have to be done talking about this.
Correct.
As long as you guys... want us to continue, and you'll show us that you want to continue. By
rumor of the week.
There you go.
A new segment. Rumor of the week.
So yeah, we could talk about some rumors next week that we haven't addressed already. We talk about some other stuff going on.
We didn't
on.
Even there's talk lots. About the Rogue One rumors.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff
and lots of them. Yeah. Lots of Rogue One Rebels tie-in rumors.
Yep.
So
I mean, we're Rogue One is less
than a year away.
Yeah.
Less
and
than a year.
We're at presently 17 months away from Episode 8. So
correct.
Like there
they
is,
go back to the May schedule next May.
Yeah,
Not this one coming, but the next one.
I'm wondering if that might get bumped, though, because this is an awfully they haven't started photography yet. And this is an awfully short amount of time to knock out another episode.
They go into production like this week.
Yeah.
It's still
on Episode 8.
That's tight. That's very tight. 17 months.
They've also been in pre since 7 ended.
This is true. It's still tight.
Kathleen Kennedy.
I have faith they'll do it,
but we know
tight.
Why this is happening, because Kathleen Kennedy wanted this movie, Episode 7, last May.
Right.
And she gave him December. They pushed Rogue One to December with the idea that they're going back to the May schedule. It's going to be every May is going to be Star Wars month for the next 10 years.
So there you go. There'll be more Star Wars talk is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And you'll hear all of it right here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right. Find us online, bkgeekstuff.com. Of course, support us by going to amazon.bkgeekstuff.com. And I think that's it, yeah?
Is it?
I think that's it.
Unless we have all the plugs?
Do you want to throw all the plugs in the Twitters and the Instagrams out?
It's all on the website. If you go to the episode post, it's all there. But you can find us on Twitter, GeekStuffOG, KR Marlowe, and BK Geekstuff. Instagram are similar. The links are all there in the episode post.
Perfect.
Check it out. I like it that way. The Facebook page, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
And if you follow me on Twitter, you are privy to the incredible jokes that I share from time to time. I think I threw out there the
incredible
the Star Wars dad joke of the millennium.
Which was?
I threw that one out there today. I asked,
if you throw it out there today, let's save it. People will have to hunt down your feed now.
No, cause I really want to subject the listeners. I want to forcibly subject them to it.
Okay.
So why won't you ever find a blues legend in a dine-in movie theater to watch Star Wars?
Why?
Because BB-8.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, chew on that, baby.
And with that regrettable end note, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close the way we end some episodes, by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Hey, how'd my father die?
49 times we fought that beast, your old man and me.
had a chicken head with duck feet, with a woman's face too.
Oh, that's rad.
Was waiting in the bushes for us. Then I ripped off your dad's face. He was screaming something awful. In fact, there was this huge mess, and I had to change the floors.
The floors?
You see, his blood had drained into the boards, and I had to change them. But we all got a chicken duck woman thing waiting for us. Every day I worry all day about what's waiting in the bushes of